Welcome to the 185th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly quizcast where two professional quizmasters talk about how to write and host great pub trivia, as well as quizzing each other and our guests on our favorite questions of the week. I'm one half of your hosting team, Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis!
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great.
How are you doing? Fantastic. Good. On this morning of tornadoes.
Yeah, it hit really close. You might have seen it trending on Twitter, Fort Myers. We had a tornado moving up the river. I'm not sure if they've reported any damage, but we hope
everybody's safe. Oh, there was some damage. I saw what looked like some electricity.
I couldn't tell if that was lightning or if it was just blowing over Transformers boxes.
I think it was probably Transformers.
It looked like a freaking Marvel movie, man. Like, I thought Electro was going to pop out.
And coming over the bridge this morning, I saw some downed limbs. So it was, it wasn't terrible. Being in Southwest Florida, we're kind of accustomed to this, I think, with heavy winds and such. But
yeah, hurricane is, a tornado that happens, thankfully nothing impacted us personally, but that's a usually smaller scale, mm-hmm. I'd say, as far as like if a tornado is like moving through the area. Usually we're used to picking up limbs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What we're not used to is having a Patreon milestone, which we just hit. We now have 60 patrons.
Jesus Christ.
So we want to say thank you to the 60 of you listeners who are regularly supporting the show. We hope that you enjoy all of the bonus content that we have. There's more to come. And also want to send a shout out and a thank you to Kristen and Fletcher for sticking around for bonus quiz number 11.
Oh, yeah.
Which recently went up. A lot of fun. Team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. And if you enjoy the show and you'd like to support it, you can do so in one of two ways. First of all, I don't think we've ever mentioned this. If you just want to send us a direct payment to our PayPal.
Fuck it.
NoNonsenseTrivia@gmail.com.
Fuck it.
That's our regular email address. You can send us a little one-time thing if you're not into regularly supporting. But if you do want to regularly support the show, you can go to thenono.com, click on the support link at the top. That will take you to our Patreon page. And from there, you can sign up to support the show at one of several different levels. They all get you kind of the same thing, though, which is access to our bonus content library.
And we get to say your name. I get to say your sexy name.
Yes, yes. And we're always on the lookout for more Justins and Mikes or any other duplicates. You could get a cool alias, at least for as long as we keep this bit going.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do that if you wouldn't mind. And again, thank you to the 60 of you. Our 60 strong.
God bless you.
Yeah. Now, Mark, I have something special for you today.
Ooh.
Just as you did last week.
I was wondering if this would happen. In our intro. Okay.
I'm going to ask you to rank my questions.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. What sound are you going to use?
All right. I don't know.
Some of those, you don't know what they are.
I got nervous.
They look like an alligator nuts.
Yeah. So, the throwback.
There you go.
Now, with these, I do mine a little differently. You do either a 3 to 7 point or a 4 to 8 point sliding
scale.
Or 3 to 8
for the first round.
Yeah, for the first round. Mine, as you mentioned in the last episode, are in point slots that never change. The first question is always 3 points. The seventh question is always 3 points. I like to start and end with an easy question. Mm-hmm. And there is 1 5-point and 2 4-points. They're kind of scattered throughout. Okay. The first round here. So I've mixed these up. I'd just like you to identify what you think I selected for the 5 points.
Okay.
And the 2 4-points. The rest are 3.
Okay.
And you can also, any commentary you want to add, you're more than welcome to.
All right.
First up, cocktails.
Oh, you're not going to send them to me?
Oh,
I sent them to you.
Well, I don't have the answers are all in here.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah, hold on. Just give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. I'll remove them.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Okay, there they are. So first up, cocktails. Often associated with fruit and blenders, what cocktail, or do you want to, I guess I read them to myself last time.
However you want to do it. You can read them to me if you want, or I can read them. Okay. Often associated with fruit and blenders, what cocktails traditionally made with white rum, lime juice.
Should say lime juice.
Simple syrup.
There's going to be a few other typos on there.
Just yeah, that's up. Fine. That's fine. I do the same thing. Often associated with fruit and blenders. White rum, lime juice, and simple syrup. With fruit and blenders. It's got to be something tropical. It shows that I don't know much about drinking. I like a good, what is this drink called?
Ah, okay.
Is that a margarita?
No. Wrong. Sorry. It's a daiquiri.
Oh, okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Strawberry daiquiri. I didn't know that it was traditionally made with lime.
Yeah. Margarita, I believe, is traditionally made with tequila, not rum.
Got it.
So that could be how you separate that out.
Marine science octopuses have how many hearts? I think it's 3.
That's correct. They share that in common with squid and cuttlefish as well.
In Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, it is revealed that Credence was swapped at birth with which member of the Lestrange family? I'm gonna guess Beatrice, because it's the only one I know.
No. I think you're looking for Bellatrix. Oh, Bellatrix. Her name, but yeah. Beatrice from Kill Bill. Right?
Yes.
No, it's Corvus Lestrange. Corvus.
I don't know that.
So you would know that if you saw the movie, maybe. Which to the I did very not. End. Yeah.
And I've never seen the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. On the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, what is the titular Mrs. Maisel's first name? Elizabeth?
No. It's Midge. Is her nickname for Miriam? I would accept either of those.
90s NBA. Which former NBA player had more rebounds per season for more years in the 90s than any other play?
Or player. That's what it should
say. Oh, than any other player. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a couple people this could be. I feel like it's mostly between Charles Barkley and Dennis Rodman, who are both known for being huge rebounders. I'm going to go with Charles Barkley.
No, it was Dennis Rodman. Yeah, I think he had 6 or 7 years.
I should have
more rebounds than anybody else in those years.
By number of deaths, 750,000 a year. What is considered to be the most dangerous animal in the world? Human?
Well, is that your answer?
Yeah.
No, humans actually come in at number 2 behind mosquitoes.
Oh, fucking Christ. I should have known.
Somebody did ask, though, if that was 750,000 human deaths. So that's why that caught me up for a second.
Oh, interesting. They wanted
to clarify.
Extreme sports. Aid, free, solo, lead, and multi-pitch are all types of what extreme sport?
That is a very fun straw you have there.
Isn't that
you wacky? You were not lying.
It's so long.
You got a long, bendy straw.
I don't like straws very much because they usually, especially when you get half sweet, half unsweet tea, when you put the straw all the way to the bottom, you get all of either sweet or unsweet.
Whatever went in first, yeah.
So I like took a big old swig, and it was, first of all, warm because all the ice is at the top, and second of all, very sweet. But it's worth it.
It's fun.
You're dealing with that
straw. That one's fun.
It's wacky.
Yeah.
Aid, free, solo, lead. Oh, extreme sports. Free multi-pitch is really got my brain going wild here. I'm trying not to suss too much on any of these so I don't take a bunch of time. I'll say snowboarding.
No, it's rock climbing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, I got one of those.
Yeah. And we're looking for the number 5 and the 2 number 4s.
Okay. So for the number 5, I'm going to go with. For the number 5, I'm going to go with the for the number 5, I'm going to go with either the Harry Potter quest or the. I'll say the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I'm going to go with the number 5.
Is that what you're ascribing or what you think that I chose?
Well, I mean, I guess what I would do.
Okay.
I guess.
And then
for the 2 4s, yeah. I would go with the Harry Potter question and the basketball question, I think.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you all of these questions were answered correctly by 44% of the audience at Pointy Bell, except for two. There are two questions, one of which, the octopuses have how many hearts? I rated that a 3-point question, and 78% of the audience got that right.
I thought that was a 3-pointer.
Mm-hmm. And then the Harry Potter one, which I had as my had as a 4-pointer, mm-hmm. turned out to be the hardest, with only 11% of the audience knowing, which was just one team who happened to win the quiz as well. Mm. So it turned out,
and I gave that a 4-point
difference. Yep, the 5-point I had was the animals, the mosquitoes,
the deadly animals.
Which I was surprised to see as many teams get that right, but again, 44%. So Dennis Rodman I had as a 4-point, and the Miss Maisel one I had as a 3-point, actually.
Oh, okay. Huh. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of people get the Miss Maisel question right?
Again, all of those were 44% of the teams. They all might as well have been rated the same, I would say.
That's interesting.
Yeah. They had about the same level of difficulty in the end, even though I gave the Maisel one a 3 and the Rodman question a 4.
Gotcha. Okay. Teams. The Dennis Rodman one, I almost wanted to give a 4 because it's one of those things where I get tricked into because mm-hmm. I know more about sports than the average person, I guess. So I could see like the average person without a sports person just guessing Michael Jordan.
Yeah, or Shaquille O'Neal. We did have like some Michael Jordan and Shaquille O'Neal
picking
there.
Hey, Shaq's tall. Or yeah. Exactly.
I think the first time I saw Shaq on the answer sheet, I was like, hey, it makes sense. You know,
it
like,
absolutely does. I mean, but I think he was known more for blocking than he was for rebounding.
Right. Yeah.
Made only 1 3-pointer in his entire career.
Oh, yeah. I think I have seen that one.
That might have been a question I asked forever ago because I thought that was a pretty wild statistic. So
yeah,
we weren't terribly off.
No, I don't think so. And so I saw that you at first when I asked about 5-pointer, you were like, the Harry Potter one, and then you like pulled it back a second.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because there's what I know and what other people know. Now, so Seth and I played your trivia, the two of us, 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and we were both like, this, your trivia is not for us. Your
trivia you
is not
about?
For me because it's so largely pop culture based. And
that's at Ollie's though, you know,
exactly. Yeah. I mean,
we do take the category requests.
Absolutely.
So the teams absolutely. That
which
show
is
up.
Why like, it's like mm-hmm. the one night I can go is the one night that you're doing largely video games questions, anime questions, movies questions, TV show questions about TV shows I haven't seen, Harry Potter questions. And it's like,
I will say Seth hung you out to dry this week because he requested the courtship at his father,
dude,
and I put that on.
We got the question and I go, we were like, courtship of fucking Eddie's father. Who the fuck? And I go, I know who fucking did this. It was fucking Seth. And of course, Seth was not feeling well, so he didn't come out.
Hope you're feeling better, bud.
Yeah. And so I, you know,
two boomer teams got it.
Like, son of a bitch. Yeah. I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mrs. Livingston, which I've heard people say Mrs. Livingston, I presume, which I'm presuming is from that. But, yeah, I, we were both just kind of lamenting like this is for the kids. You know, we don't know much of this stuff. So when you ask stuff like Harry Potter questions for people that are very much into that world, I'm sure it's really easy. But for me, it's like, so I have to sit there and go, oh, that's a 5-pointer. I go, well, if you're doing this and you're reading it for a crowd who's into it, then you might rate it a 4-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I guess I just thought that maybe she's not called Mrs. Maisel very much in the series.
Or
I've never
or
seen it. Yeah. So, or she was, only called Mrs. Maisel for the most part.
This raises a question. This is why I ask this, because it's like there is, you're doing two things when you're trying to figure out the point value. One, I think, is you're trying to accurately rate the difficulty of the question. So you're trying to make the harder questions worth more. But at the same time, I'm trying to balance the quiz because I know not everybody is a Harry Potter fan. And I know not everybody watches Miss Maisel. So to me, it's almost unfair to put those questions in the 5-point slot in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no other 5-point questions that round for it to go up against, I need my sole 5-point question to be something general knowledge based, like animals.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs to be on equal footing for the most 5 points. Now, in the later rounds, when I have 3 5-point questions, I relax that a little bit. I will ask a 5-point courtship of Eddie's father question because I know that there are two other categories that I can balance that out with. So if I have a 60s TV question, I can do a Hot Ones question. Mm-hmm. Because when I ask Hot Ones, the teams that got the courtship of Eddie's father, they had the reaction you did. They said Hot Ones. I heard them say, like, what the hell is Hot Ones? What is this, a hot sauce eating YouTube? They couldn't even believe it existed, right? You know?
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things also. And I think
you guys got that one, didn't you?
No, we didn't.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, you had a different G-Unit member.
Well, and that's the thing. So, you know, again, this also has to do with people being shy about putting clues into questions. But giving someone, so for your Hot Ones question, it was, who is the first person? So obviously, if you're a huge Hot Ones fan
and was a member of G-Unit, a rapper that's a member of G-Unit,
then you have a second way of getting it.
Yeah.
Now, if you know who is in G-Unit, you can at least have a guess. And I mean, we took a stab at another member of G-Unit and it just ended up being wrong, but that gives us a better chance than you could say, what rapper? And that gives you, you know, if you say, who is the first person, your chances of getting it right, if you don't watch Hot Ones, are 1 in 1,000,000.
Yeah, it could be any celebrity. It could be
anybody. Mm-hmm. If you say, what rapper, now you've got like 1 in 5,000.
Yep.
If you say, what member of what, you know, of an East Coast rap team or rap group, now you've got 1 in 2,000.
Right.
If you say, what member of G-Unit, and you know who G-Unit is, you got a 1 in 3, 1 in 4, whatever, 1 in whatever chance. And it slims it down, you know, it gives you another avenue to get down there. And you do that a lot, and you do it really well, where you say, what blah blah blah, which shares names, you know, name with, or, you know, which also blah 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 blah.
Yeah, that backfired on me this week, though. We'll get into that in our weekly wrap up.
I had a question I had to nullify because it was so poorly done, that I wrote, that was so poorly done, I had to just throw it out
of your own
quiz of my own.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's get to that. So interesting stuff here.
Yes, very interesting. I know we've largely eschewed the nuts and bolts of trivia sometimes, and it's been nice getting back into it, seeing how we would rate each other's questions if we had asked them as far as points are concerned. And I actually still have teams that ask me why I don't give point values beforehand, and one of the reasons is because if there is anyone trying to cheat, they would try and cheat during the harder questions, especially with them being more, it would give them added incentive to cheat. And also because it gives people a clue as to how hard the question is going to be. And I don't like that. I like giving someone a question where you go, you know, what color is the red boathouse on, you know, blah, blah. And people think it's going to be, you know, maybe the color is red. Maybe it's something else and it's a misnomer and it's called, you know, it's colored something else, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. If I say it's 3 points, then you're just going to guess red. If I say it's 8 points, you're going to go, oh, well, it's going to be some other question. Exactly. You can get very meta with it. So I withhold the point values for each round. And then afterward, I'm fine with giving them out. But that's one of the reasons that I do that. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Weekly wrap up.
Let's do it. On Wednesday, January 12th, we were at Pointy Bell Brewing Company for quiz number 384. Bad and Boozy coming in third place with 54 points, a new team. Team Legend 2, Electric Boogaloo, last week's winners, coming in second place this week with 67 points. And the Hideaways, who were in second place last week, came in first place with 108 points, adding a third player to the team, seeming to make all the difference. Congratulations to them. We also had a team in Canada, a team from Canada in the house. They were called Mostly Wrong. Thanks for hanging out. We hope you enjoy the podcast and your drive back up. They seemed excited about that. On Thursday, January 13th, we were at Ollie's Pub for quiz number 385. And I put in a hint on the fly, Mark, as you might remember, and it backfired on me because I felt like a particular question needed a little extra something, which was, what was it? It was, what is the name of Tifa's bar in Final Fantasy VII? And it was kind of just a flatly written question that way. And I thought, oh, let me spice this up with a little hint. And so I said, it shares the name with a game that teenagers play because the name of the bar is Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I thought seven minutes in heaven. And after about 30-40 seconds, my mind started thinking, wait a second,
hold on,
that hint makes no sense, it's gonna lead them to the wrong answer, if any. So I got back on the mic and I said, ignore that hint. And everybody went, oh, there was, you know, rancor in the midst.
Yes.
And I said, all right, I got to give you a different hint. It shares a name with a television series that aired on the WB from 1997 to 2008 or whatever, whenever Seventh Heaven. And it's in those moments, you really, I feel like you really have to work to make sure that the people that were listening before and got the first hint are now listening to you again so they can hear you say, ignore the hint to get the new hint.
It's like in
to pay penance almost. Like, I just need to be clear here, you know, ignore that first hint.
It's kind of like when someone's in court and someone says, you know, this guy was busted for, you know, killing 50 people before. And then they go, oh, strike that from the record. Pretend like you've never heard it. It's like, yeah. I can't do that.
I can't hear it.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Fletcher was unsure. We, of course, gave the answer sheet directly to Fletcher. And he didn't know the Tifa's bar question. Then you asked with a hint. We still weren't sure. Then when you said the WB thing, it was like, okay, so it's a WB... It's a thing. What WB show sounds like it could possibly be a game that you would play in middle school.
Right.
And it's like Seventh Heaven, 7 minutes in heaven. You can totally see. So, you know, at that point, he was like, I've got it.
Good. That was the best case scenario, I thought, is that happening. Is that you got a hint that wasn't a hint that turned out to be a hint because you can combine it with the second actual hint. Best case scenario. That mess. You guys were out on Thursday as Damp Dudes. 59 points. Death Stars are the best stars in third place with 67 points. Just the Tips in second place with 69 points.
Nice.
And our winners would be the Shiba Inu Illuminati, thanks to their conservative play on the final wager question. 82 points, their final score.
You know, I just want to say, I saw Elise make a post about their winnings. And then I saw Sean say they're going to get back to him. Not a lot of respect paid to the Wet Boys, I feel like. They were just kind of talking about one and two, but you know, we haven't been there often at full strength.
Do you want to know your score over there?
Sure.
How we're doing? Let's take a look.
I mean, I know we had a small run, and
you did.
I mean, it's rough because we're all, you know, one of us always ends up being pretty busy, but I feel like when we have at least the core four, me, Jamie, Fletcher, and Kristen, and Seth, we stand a pretty good chance. We just have trouble getting out there in full strength.
Our top five teams at Ollie's: in fifth place, the Wicked Bad Bitches and Hombres with two wins. They're actually tied with the Trivia World Order, who also have two wins, both of those being our wrestling trivia. Death Stars are the best stars in fourth with three wins. Well, actually, they're tied with you guys. You're tied with Death Stars of the Best Stars.
With three.
And the Wet Boys. Three wins apiece. Just the Tips with seven. And Shiba Inu Illuminati bringing it up to nine wins. And I might add also, they are our undisputed no-nonsense trivia champions, having the most victories at both Ollie's and Pointy Bell. So
the pointiest of bells.
You know, congratulations to them. It would be exciting to see a challenger, though. So come on out and challenge them. Mark, I do want to know, before we get to our calendar, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Pizza this week?
They did well. We had a team called Stuff Your Electrons in My Valiant Shell, who just fucking swept. It was a murderer's row.
Okay.
It's a friend of mine, Clayton, who is out there, and he is a teacher. And I think he was playing with all teachers. And they just came out there.
That's always dangerous.
Yeah, first round, 25 points. Next closest team, I think, was 15 points. They just mopped the floor with everyone else. The second round, they won with 39 points. And they won the last round with 38 points. They lost a point and still won. However, on Zoom, Whiskey Tango, 48 points.
There you go.
Still waiting. I'm gonna say this on the podcast. Lisa, congratulations to your Bills. They were far and away the better team last night. good luck in the playoffs. I'm not going to say I hope you win the Super Bowl and finally get one, but
you could say that.
Best of luck to you.
You won't say it. He's not going that far.
Yeah. I'll say congratulations. You were the better team that day. Congratulations to the Bills. I can admit when my team is lost, I'm not one of those football fans. I'm not going to make excuses. Congratulations.
And if you want to feel like a champion, like a winner,
and who doesn't,
come on out and visit us at Trivia this week.
Yes.
On Wednesday, we're live at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for No Nonsense Trivia Challenge based on your category requests. Please join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. That's at Pointy Bell Brewing Company on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. On Thursdays, we're at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for a weekly quiz based on your category requests. That's also at 7:30. We hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. And of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. And yes, please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What intro.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we've already recorded a podcast. Wow. Let's just call it here.
Wow. I really liked this. This tell me how many points you would have attributed to each question thing.
Yeah.
I think it's been a lot of fun, and it's been, and people have heard maybe some people heard the behind the scenes talk between you and I on the last episode that was in there.
Oh, yeah. I accidentally I did. Okay. Yeah. But some people heard it.
Yeah.
We had a hot mic situation.
talking nothing but good stuff, talking about quality content, how it was a little longer of an intro, but it's chock full of good stuff, just like this one.
That's the thing. We added 7 questions this episode. Hell yeah. It's more trivia. So
indeed.
Let's take a little break, and then we'll come back with even more trivia.
Yummy.
In round one.
All right, we're back. Are you ready for a question?
Indeed.
I think this is going to be a relatively easy one for you.
Oh, no. You always doom me with that.
No, I think you got this.
Okay.
Sammo Lives, an upcoming biopic, will tell the story of what artist?
Sammo?
Sammo Lives, an upcoming biopic, will tell the story of what artist?
Sammo. Well, we've had a Frida Kahlo biopic in recent years.
Do you say biopic? Yeah. I don't know if it's biopic or biopic.
I like biopic because it's short for biographical picture.
Yeah. I feel like it just kind of took on a life of its own and people started pronouncing it biopic.
It sounds like myopic when you say it that way, which is like, you know, different word, different etymology. So I say biopic personally. Okay. I try not to be too critical. Though I won't deny that I haven't been critical about that in the past to some people.
Wow. Ooh.
I don't know if I have or not. Okay. I've definitely thought it. I've definitely thought, stop saying that way. Huh. Anyway, I think I've talked about this with Dallas.
Do you say sci-fi? In person
before, because I think I heard Dallas say it on a podcast.
Do you say sci-fi?
Huh?
Is it short for science fiction?
No.
Weird. Okay. Anyway, what were you saying?
Did you say science fiction? Because I pronounce that science fiction.
From now on.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I touché. Got my eyes on you, boy.
Touche. Sammo Lives. It's probably not Van Gogh. Sammo sounds like it could be a nickname. My mind is drawn to like New York, Keith Haring, Jean-Michel Basquiat. Both of which I think deserve movies. They were friends. Probably get the same movie. I don't know who you're going to make the main character, but you probably get a dose of both. And it just feels like the time is right. I mean, both of those artists are having a bit of a renaissance as far as like licensing. You see a lot of t-shirts and shoes and stuff with Keith Haring and Basquiat stuff on it. I feel like it might just be Basquiat's time. I don't know about the Samo thing. Both of those artists are dead. So having their name be Lives, you know, could be a cool tribute to them. And yeah, I'm going to go with I've never heard Samo as a nickname for either of them, but I'm going to go with Basquiat.
That's correct.
Oh,
so I was actually just reading about it. It's actually pronounced Samo.
Oh, okay.
Samo, originally mm-hmm. a collaboration between Basquiat and Al Diaz, but then later just attributed to Basquiat.
Okay.
But yes, yeah. Yes, Samo. Mm-hmm. I apologize for the mispronunciation.
Okay.
Samo Lives.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. There's a lot of cool stories that I've read online about him and, you know, New York art parties and stuff like that. And I think like Al Diaz, actually, if I remember correctly, there was like a story where Al Diaz came over to his apartment and Basquiat had all of his paintings just kind of like on the floor and he was like walking all over them. And Al Diaz is like, "What are you doing?" He's like, insane. "I don't care about this stuff." But yeah, his work is awesome. And if you see in like specifically like hip hop or graffiti, the crown motif in theme, I even have it in one of my pieces on the Kingfisher, you know, a bit of a pun putting a crown on the Kingfisher. But that was popularized by Basquiat.
Kelvin Harrison Jr. playing the role of Basquiat in the upcoming film Cyrano about Cyrano de Bergerac. Starring what's his name, the Lannister Dinklage.
Oh, Peter Dinklage,
and a movie called Monster Waves, which made some waves in the movie world. Yep.
Lots of good movies coming out, sounds like.
Yeah.
All right, my first question for you, this is a bit of homage. I was inspired by your John Tyler question with his 15 children. Right? Or 10 children?
15.
15? Mm-hmm. Well, what a coincidence. We're going to the 15th president with this question. Who is the 15th U.S. president, which is the only to have remained a lifelong bachelor, having never married? So maybe the inverse of John Tyler.
I know this too.
The president who didn't fuck.
Well.
No, he probably did.
This is insane.
He was apparently engaged. At one point.
I think this is the one that like another guy lived with him in the White House and a lot of people suspect that he was gay, but I can't remember who it is. And I don't know who the 15th president is. God, I don't know. I don't know the order of the presidents.
I had to put this one right up front to throw you off guard.
Yeah. I give you an art question. You give me a fucking president's
question. I wanted to be close to the John Tyler
Primus or something.
I wanted to put it close to the Tyler question in case somebody was, you know, binge listening.
John Tyler, the creator. That's for a very niche group of listeners. When you said 15th president, for some reason, the first person to come to mind was Rutherford B. Hayes. O.B. Hayes.
Oh, Henry.
That was good. What a clue, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck are you? I'm going to say, I'm just trying to think of like a president's name that like no one ever talks about much. Millard Fillmore.
No, I'm sorry. Many did answer Millard Fillmore. He was the 13th president, though. So close.
Wow. I'm glad I was close.
Yeah. The correct answer is James Buchanan.
James Buchanan.
Yeah. And
was I right about the gay thing?
I think that was the one that you were talking about. Yeah, I think he did have a live-in roommate.
Yeah, and I think there was like some correspondence between the two of them that made it sound like
didn't he have like a series of letters?
That's what
like
that's
very friendly that's letters.
Correspondence, I guess, would be another word for letters. Yeah,
you can miscorrect us if we're wrong. We think that's Buchanan.
Yeah, I would. That would be my guess. All right, here's your second question. When first used around World War I, the English term cooties referenced what kind of infestation?
My guess would be pubic lice. Or crabs? Are those separate things?
Yes.
They are?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Well, I've heard, yeah, crabs is... Now crabs that I think about it, I think it's... No, please don't say that. When we're talking about this. I like crab rangoon.
Oh, I don't.
So. No? No? Oh, no. Yeah, if I remember correctly... I
don't like
seafood,
but I also don't like the other crabs.
Crabs is slang for STD that doesn't involve any microorganisms. It's like an infection, I think. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go with pubic lice.
That's correct. It's lice. Oh, okay. I don't know that it's necessarily pubic lice,
well,
but I would still give it to you.
Okay, so it could be lice from your head? They would still be considered cooties? Yeah. Okay.
Because it was, I believe in foxholes, people were
Did you say anything related? Can I hear the question again?
Yeah. When first used around World War I, the English term cooties referenced what kind of infestation?
Oh, I don't know why I brought it sexual immediately.
I don't know either.
It's got to be
cooties. Might say a lot about you.
Maybe it's the association of like boys and girls and cooties. You don't want to get cooties from the opposite gender by being too lovey-dovey. I think that's kind of why my brain went there probably.
Gotcha.
You know.
All right, here's your final question. This is a little bit of a current events question.
Okay.
But I guess it could go on forever. Stephanie Matto, who rose to fame by appearing on what reality show, recently suffered a health scare by changing her diet to continue farting into jars and selling them for $1,000 a piece.
Yes. Yes. I believe the answer is 90 Day Fiancé.
That is correct.
Yes.
Perfect and first round for you.
Crushing my questions. That's crazy. I don't think I've ever done that before.
Congratulations.
It's been a while. Thank you. Yeah. What was her name again?
Stephanie Matto, M-A-T-T-O.
Yes. And now she has, since she can't sell the real farts in jars because of the health scare, her doctor told her she has to change her diet. She is now selling NFTs of farts in a jar. And that is just like the perfect
metaphor.
How
do you feel about NFTs?
I'm not a fan.
Neither am I.
I'm not a fan. If they had no impact on the environment or, you know, the economy of graphics cards or some stuff, or there was like no art theft, or if they had a tangible value, you know, that was based on something, I could get behind them. They seem cool. They seem like digital trading cards with animations and 3D elements. All that stuff is cool, but it seems that it's at such a high expense, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not a fan of that. And I feel like a digital fart in a jar is a perfect metaphor for NFTs. So absolutely. Good job, Stephanie Matto.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the answer here is just to spike the price of your actual farts on your regular diet.
Yeah.
I mean, why instead go
yeah,
to
now
NFTs
you have scarcity.
Versus go, yeah.
Hello.
Now you go, sorry, I only have X amount of farts, so now they're going to be $5,000 a jar.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put out 10% of the volume. You want my fart? Guess what, buddy? You're paying for it.
That's his good business.
Yeah, exactly.
Put food diarrhea brands. In a jar. Speaking of business, food brands.
Diarrhea also probably lasts longer as far as bad smell is concerned.
I don't know if she's concerned with longevity of, you know, I mean, who knows? That's her Someone business, is, not yeah. mine.
Easier to make diarrhea than fart.
I'm no expert. Food brands. What brand name product, now owned by Good Humor Breyers, was originally sold in fruity flavors and marketed as a, quote, frozen drink on a stick? What brand name product, now owned by Good Humor Breyers, was originally sold in fruity flavors and marketed as a frozen drink on a stick?
Originally sold in fruity flavors makes me think that that it is now not sold in fruity flavors. brand name product. My first thought was Popsicle, which is fruity flavors, and it's like fruity drinks on a stick. But originally sold in fruity flavors makes me question. Can I hear it one more time?
What brand name product, now owned by Good Humor Breyers, was originally sold in fruity flavors and marketed as a frozen drink on a stick?
Has it gone so far away from this? Is it just one of those things where it started off as almost a completely different item altogether and is now something completely different? Where they got rid of the stick altogether. Kind of how like Dr. Pepper was first a medicine and now it's just a soda. Is the answer easier than that? I mean, the Popsicle is one of the only things I can think of. Owned by Good Humor and Breyers ice cream. Good Humor's ice cream. I'll say Popsicle.
That is correct.
Oh, holy shit.
Yes, Popsicle. And the reason originally is because now Creamsicle and Fudgesicle have been added after being acquired by Good Humor Breyers. But I do see, the point of contention there. And this question might need a little bit of rewording as to not have to accept Creamsicle or Fudgesicle based on the way that it's written, because it says originally sold in fruity flavors. Creamsicle and Fudgesicle are brand names owned by
I was going to say Myers. They're kind of their own thing. Yeah.
So reading through this now, I might have to go back and give points to the team that wrote down Creamsicle, because we did have one of those. Some wrong answers that we got. Some best worst answers would be Go-Gurt, Juicy Pop, which is like a type of candy. And then those long multicolor frozen push pop things. I'll just give you a freebo here. Those are called push pops. Some of our popular wrong answers there, but yeah, I think the way that it's written, I would probably have to accept Creamsicle or Fudgesicle.
Interesting.
But originally I wrote that because I was surprised that Popsicle was the brand name, you know. I was like,
yeah, oh, it's one of those like Xerox. Okay, there's a name for those.
The generic name becomes the brand name. Yeah, vice versa.
Yeah. Take a quick break.
Let's do it.
Come back with some miscorrections. We got some. And then a second round of yummy trivia.
All right, we're back. And let's hear it with a jazzy miscorrection. David Holbrook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's been a while since we had a guest theme in
Indeed.
Here.
Indeed. David Holbrook showing up in the Discord.
DH3.
Indeed.
And if you are a musician or if you're musically inclined and you want to send in a version of our themes,
if you got a group of people and you want to just record you all singing the theme,
anything,
maybe if you're one of the teams like Wicked Bad Bitches and Hombres or
Death Stars.
Pretty Nice or Death Stars, Shiba, Pretty Nice / Shiba Inu Illuminati, etc. Feel free.
NoNonsenseTrivia@gmail.com is where you can send that. Mm. And let's go over some other stuff that we got there. First up, we heard from Mo. This was actually in our Discord. Mo writes, Quizmaster Lee, small miscorrection. Mark's first Rank My Question asked which arcade game, and you answered King of Kong, when the game is called Donkey Kong. I know you definitely know that and just misspoke, but in a real trivia, I don't think that would fly as an answer.
It would not.
And I have to admit, he's right. Yep. You did. I was not paying close enough to attention to what you were asking, and I assumed that you were asking for the name of the movie because you gave me the subtitle. Poo on Me.
Indeed.
The Legend of the Octopus is a sports tradition during Detroit Red Wings home playoff games involving dead octopuses thrown on the ice rink.
Gross.
I can't remember who sent that in, but thank you for clarifying that. That might have been Christopher M, actually. Apologies if not, though. Whoever that might be. And there's no way that Steven Tyler and John Tyler are related, because Steven Tyler's real name is, or his birth name is, Steven Tallarico.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He had a change name, and I guess Liv Tyler is just continuing on with the performance name. It's her last name. We heard from Christy in Michigan. Christy writes, just wanted to let you guys know, I'm glad at least one of you knew the acronym for the Great Lakes question. As a youper from Drummond Island, Michigan, I'm sure you could hear me yelling homes through the speakers. Drummond Island is the island 1 mile off the coast of the easternmost tip of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I love listening to you guys on my long commutes. Thank you for making my drive time enjoyable. Keep up the good work.
Fantastic.
And now we also heard something from Warring Hearts here on Discord. The Kimba Simba being a ripoff thing is kind of a factoid. This is in reference to my claim during the sus that the Lion King was ripped off of a Japanese animation. Warring Hearts continues, it's cherry picked at best and deliberately dishonest and misleading at worst.
Harsh words.
I looked into this, and I kind of, when they said this, I was kind of like, yeah, I kind of do remember there being some conflict about it. So I looked into it. The argument against is that it's a coincidence. Basically all the plot points and the similarities. The son of Kimba's creator, Osamu Tezuka, and Tezuka is probably better known as the creator of the manga character Astro Boy, also created Kimba. His son, Makoto Tezuka, has stated, quote, that the controversy started in America and people inflated the issue because of their opposition to Disney's business practices. He also states that he refuses to participate in this denunciation of Disney and that he does not want to see his father's works being turned into a weapon for those people.
Damn.
Tezuka acknowledges that Kimba and the Lion King are two different stories with different themes. And if the latter was about a white lion who spoke with humans, then he would not be able to pardon the similarities. But since it's not about that, I guess not. Here are the similarities, by the way. Protagonist lion cubs being driven from their pride by an evil lion villain. Lioness cub friends. Comedic hyena henchmen. Pompous birds. An opening title sequence in which a Lion King stands on a jutting cliff as birds fly over the savannah. A stampede in which the protagonist tries but fails to save an important character who clings to a tree for dear life. The protagonist fleeing because they're unfit to rule. The protagonist's parents appearing in clouds offering advice, the protagonist burning the villain in the eyes during a fight sequence, and an old baboon who convinces the protagonist to accept their responsibility and claim their birthright as the ruler of the animal kingdom. Now, if that's cherry picking, those are some juicy ass cherries.
That's a lot.
The official word from the creators camp, though, it's not a ripoff. So I'll let you be the judge. We're not going to put this in a factoid alert because it, in my mind, does not still seem definitive. I think there's a lot of similarities there, but I can see why people might get defensive over calling it that, especially if you're a Disney fan. And we want to hear whatever else you have to say, so please write to us, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media.
Real quick, before we get into the second round, I want you to know the question that I asked that I had to immediately delete.
Oh, right.
So my question was, who is the only Star Trek actor to be nominated for an Emmy? Now, I got this I'm guessing it's not a fact, but it's a fact from the actor's Wikipedia page. However,
it's been burning you a little bit lately, the Wikipedia.
Well, it's not just Wikipedia. It's me not looking deeper into what the facts are. So this actor, it says they were not. And the other thing is, originally I had added, because I thought this didn't sound right. So I had added another qualifier, which had I kept that in, I would have been fine. But the when I was asking the questions, I deleted the other part because it wasn't written smoothly. And I was like, I remember seeing this, so I'm just going to like throw it in there. So in the Wikipedia article, it says they are the only Star Trek actor to be nominated for an Emmy. Did they mean Star Trek, the original series, or did they mean Star Trek in general?
Right.
I didn't think about
it. Big difference in numbers. Exactly. Yeah.
The answer is it would have been Star Trek, the original show.
Yeah.
Just Star
Labeled
Trek.
Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I had a team or two ask me, and I should have qualified that. In the Wikipedia, it says they were nominated 3 times for the Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. Had I put that qualifier in there, even if I had said the whole Star Trek universe, that particular fact would have separated this person from anybody else.
Yep.
Knowing that, do you have any guesses to who it is?
I would think it might be Shatner. For Boston Legal? Was that a drama? I think he got some accolades.
No, this was for Star Trek.
Oh, it was for Star Trek. Okay. Oh, Leonard Nimoy.
That's it.
Okay, yeah.
It's Leonard Nimoy. I think that had I just done a little bit more digging and put the question together better, instead I asked that and just put it out there and...
Yeah.
People were writing Whoopi Goldberg, which is technically true.
Yep.
William Shatner is technically true. A bunch of other people. So I just ended up having to cut the question and making the first round 5 questions. It was an embarrassment.
Oh, you didn't replace
it?
Oh,
no.
Oh,
I just got rid, because I had already asked them all. And then I started getting all these other people. And I was like, I saw Whoopi Goldberg. I think pretty nice. Elise and Bobby's team and Max, some other people. I think they wrote Whoopi Goldberg, and I was like, she has an EGOT, right? Must have got an Emmy. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
So then I started looking into it, and I was like, I fucked up. This is just shit. I just put together shit here. So I ended up cutting it, and I just ended up cutting the whole question.
Okay.
But, you know, it is what it is. I learned from my mistakes, and
mea culpa.
We move forward. Yeah.
Mea maxima culpa. All right.
All right.
Let's get into round 2.
Okay.
We're going to kick this off with a rock and roll question.
Yeah.
In 1993, what Northern Irish singer-songwriter became the first Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee to miss their own induction dinner? They did not attend on purpose. They sent a note instead to be read in their absence.
Northern Irish singer-songwriter.
That's right.
It sounds like some Van Morrison shit. I'm going to say Van Morrison.
You nailed it. That's correct.
Yeah, he's a dick. All this shit about fucking COVID and stuff where he fucking...
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, he released an album. He released a song about how...
Oh, Van.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone to rock and roll now.
It sucks. Yeah. He's super talented, but fuck.
Some other answers we got were Sinead O'Connor. And
Bono.
Definitely want to send peace to Sinead O'Connor right now.
What's going on with Sinead?
Oh, her son died last week, and she's recently been admitted to the hospital. I'm not sure exactly for what, but going through some hard times there. I was surprised to not get any Bono on here.
I'm shocked.
But... one surprise I did get was a band, not a singer-songwriter, named Flogging Molly, who are American.
Yeah, they are very American.
Irish.
Holy wow.
They play Irish music.
Yeah.
Irish heritage music.
Yeah. But sure, that's fair.
Yeah, there's no singer-songwriter named Flogging Molly.
There's a version. Apparently, Sinead, she got, when Prince passed away, she went on record as saying that he was shitty toward her and had like hit her, I think.
Oh,
and had some beef with her. Yeah. He's, you know, no gods, no masters, no heroes. She ended up doing, cause I guess for a long time she didn't do Nothing Compares to You.
Right.
And she did a version of it with like this 15 piece string section. I'll have to throw it on the YouTube or something. Cause it's so, or on the page, because the Facebook page, cause it is so goddamn good. That song is so good.
Yep.
And Prince's version is shit in comparison. I can't remember if it was Prince or The Time or you know, some Prince adjacent band.
Yeah, they didn't release that until after he died, right? That was like after the fact.
Yeah,
his version of Manic Monday is good, though.
Oh, I've never heard that, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check that out. All right, here is your next question.
Which he also wrote.
Yes. Cats Catsiridophobia. Catsaridophobia is a fear of what insect whose order, Blatodia, also includes termites? Catsaridophobia, K-A-T-S-A-R-I-D-A, phobia, is a fear of what insect whose order, Blatodia, also includes termites? And I've heard it pronounced both Blatodia and Blatodia.
Hmm.
So I guess it can be pronounced either way.
Okay. I don't know it right out of the gate. Blat. That part.
Blat, blat.
That is the part that's ringing a bell for me. But I shouldn't say it's ringing a bell. It's gesturing towards the bell. It's reaching for the bell. The bell's not been rung. Thankfully, my bell's not been rung yet. But I want to say flies. That's like the insect that is coming to mind first for some reason. But I don't know if termites are related to flies. That would be interesting.
Ring my bell. Be very interesting. Ring my bell.
What do you think she's saying there? Make me come? Is that what that means?
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, ring my bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Heavy clit play.
Because getting your bell rung means getting hit in the head. You know, maybe it's a different kind of head. Know what I mean?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I'm going to go with flies, even though I don't know that they're related to termites. I could see them being vaguely related. And this, what did you say was Blatodia
or Blatodia?
It's just, yeah, I can't get off of it. I got to go with flies.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Ah, my perfect round or my perfect quiz is done for.
El cucaracha. The cockroach.
Oh, okay.
The cockroach.
I can see them in the termites hanging out. What are you doing here? Just grabbing some food? I'm chewing on this wood.
Yeah, I'm also grabbing food. Everyone's eating in this bitch.
All right, a sports question.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you about a particular athlete. What former professional left-handed pitcher who played for the Boston Red Sox is nicknamed Spaceman? And when asked his opinion on mandatory drug testing, responded, "I've tried just about all of them, but I wouldn't want to make it mandatory." What former professional left-handed pitcher who played for the Boston Red Sox is nicknamed Spaceman? And when asked his opinion on mandatory drug testing, responded, "I've tried just about all of them, but I wouldn't want to make it mandatory."
When I was a kid, my favorite, well, I've been a Red Sox fan for as much as I like basketball, which is not much. When I was a kid, my favorite athlete was Roger Clemens. That's impressive right there. This man, hold on, I got to take a picture of this. This man is drinking from the coffee cup and he's got, yes, and he's got his coaster stuck to the bottom of it. Perfect.
Three song stories.
Yeah. We got to get Mike Canary and John Davis in here at the same time. Let's do that soon, huh?
Let's do it. Who's the Spaceman?
See, I don't remember him ever being called Spaceman. He also went on to play for the Yankees, which is disgusting. I can't remember if he's left-handed.
Of all the teams.
He was known as the Rocket. And he was also known for doing a lot of drugs. Former Red Sox. I don't know if you're looking for someone who's played for another team. I'm trying to think of other famous pitchers for the Red Sox. There's the one dude with the blood in his sock, but his name is escaping me. I don't know how it's escaping me. Oh, Curt Schilling. I just don't know anybody who's been like open about drug use as Roger Clemens has. I'm going to say Roger Clemens.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is Bill Lee.
I've never even heard of Bill Lee.
Oh, he's the spaceman.
Clearly. That's what I heard.
Great quote there. Some other answers that we got. John Michaels, who was a lefty pitcher for the Sox. Manny Ramirez, an outfielder. John Lester and Oil Can Boyd, who was right-handed and also nicknamed Oil Can, not Spaceman.
Right. So. Could have had a second nickname, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of rewriting this on the fly.
Oh, okay. Wow. This is like a Star Trek style question. You need to.
Well, the question would be, I think, too easy for you I asked it the way I did. Okay. So I want to switch it up.
Okay. Fair enough.
What is the name of the treatment that Alex DeLarge goes under in A Clockwork Orange? Yeah, see, that's what I wanted. That's what I was looking for. That noise you just made, that's the stuff.
Well, it wasn't eating lots of chicken wings.
Mm-mm.
Like Malcolm McDowell told you to do.
Bless him.
What did you do, Mark? You betrayed him.
I did.
You had your first chicken meal of the year. Where'd you go?
I don't want to talk about it.
It was, I see why you did it. It's a place that makes wings.
Yeah. Well,
and,
you know.
And you thought, you know, they're like, well, we're doing thighs now. And you're like, this could be my thing. You were really on board with trying it.
Oh, I wanted to give it a shot. I do love thighs. To be honest with you, as far as chicken goes, thighs are my favorite part of the chicken.
They're amazing.
Yes.
They're like wings, but you don't have to work as hard to eat them and juicy.
So we're talking about Thigh Stop.
Yeah.
Which Wingstop has rebranded itself to some extent as Thigh Stop. I was hungry. I do not like Wingstop's wings. So I decided to stop by there and get some thighs to give it a shot. The thighs were the size of chickens too young to be taken away from their mother. And they were too crispy for me. They were fine. But they're not going to be replacing my love for chicken.
Not what you're looking for.
No.
Yeah.
For fried chicken, I'll take thighs. Mm-hmm. Or fried chicken with flavoring on it, I will take wings. Thank you very much.
And Mr. McDowell told you to eat many wings, and you...
And I will. I actually just had some the other night with Tommy and Doug.
Okay.
And nice guys. They were very good. I was actually I was kind of playing with the idea of going to Hog Bodies today.
Mm, that is a magical place.
It is.
Many wing flavors there.
Oh, so many.
Was this called re-education, recalibration? I think it had like a more saccharine name to it than something like that. Like... He says, I was cured all right. That's the last line of the movie.
I was cured all right.
So, and they, you know, they tell him that he's sick. So maybe it's something like medical, like you need, like empathy transfusion, something like that. Conditioning. Is that part of it? Reconditioning? Maybe it's just conditioning. I think it might just be conditioning. Conditioning treatments. To kind of condition him back into society. I don't think they call it rehabilitation. I think it's something where they're trying to like obfuscate like what they're doing and make it sound okay. I'll go with conditioning. I'm not sure about that, but that's my answer.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The Ludovico technique.
Oh my
gosh. The Ludovico
was way off.
Treatment.
Yeah.
Is what I was looking for.
I see. Named after the doctor in the movie.
An experimental behavior modification treatment called the Ludovico technique in exchange for having the remainder of his sentence commuted. Yes. A form of aversion therapy.
What was the hint that you left out?
So the original question was, the Ludovico treatment is featured in what 1970s movie?
Oh, okay.
Would you have gotten that?
I don't know that I would have, honestly. I might have forgotten that. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
One of my favorites, as you as you well know.
It's probably time to get it back into the queue.
You should do it.
Yeah, I just rewatched.
The music in it is so good.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of good music, I rewatched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Ooh.
And the music is about the only good thing in the movie on the a mature rewatch.
Wendy Carlos doing the music, doing a bunch of famous like Beethoven and stuff on Moog synthesizers when they first came out.
For Clockwork, not for Temple of Doom. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was John Williams. All right. Classic movies. I tried to pick my... my hardest questions from trivia this week, as far as that people got right or got wrong. Mm-hmm. And this was answered correctly only one out of every five teams. Now, this is what you were talking about not giving the points ahead of time, because now you might be subject to the meta analysis in your head when answering this. And I kind of like that, to be honest, but you know, classic movies. What 1954 Best Picture crime drama stars Marlon Brando and Carl Malden and focuses on union violence and corruption amongst longshoremen? What 1954 Best Picture crime drama stars Marlon Brando and Carl Malden and focuses on union violence and corruption amongst longshoremen?
No idea. Trying to think of like an old Marlon Brando movie, but I can't even do that. I'll say
do you want a different question?
Yeah, I do actually.
I'll give you a Birds question instead. By the way, I'm just going to give you the answer here. That was On the Waterfront was the correct answer.
Okay.
The Longshoreman being the clue. I've heard of that movie. I've never seen it either, so I don't know that I would get this. This was a five-pointer that I had. Mm. A best-worst answer I got for this question, Gangsters in New York. Not Gangs of New York from 2002, but Gangsters in New York, which I did look up and is not a 1954 movie. So
okay.
Good best-worst answer there, though.
Yeah, the closest I had was like Apocalypse Now, which I do.
Yeah,
it was the 70s.
I probably would have guessed Streetcar Named Desire.
Stella. Guess. Yeah, you know. Definitely not about Longshoremen, but again, early Brando.
Yeah, but see, I've never seen that movie, so it's like maybe that's a plot. I know Stella line, but I don't really know the context. What kind of ground feeding bird are the target of a driven shooting sport in areas of moorland in Scotland, Northern England, and Wales?
Christ, man. Why won't you let up on me?
I thought you wanted a birds question. You no, seemed all hype about
fucking
this.
Fucking birds.
No, you seemed all hype.
What did I see hype? You said birds, and I said, oh, great. That's not hype.
I gave you a classic movies question, and I suggested birds. You said, let's go to birds.
No, you said, do you want another question? I said, yes. And then you said, I have a birds question for you. I went, oh, fucking great. Like, I should have just stuck with being wrong once. Now I'm going to be wrong twice. What ground feeding bird? I don't know. The grackle.
No. I'm sorry. Grackle. The correct answer is the grouse.
Oh, my God.
What's a grouse to a grackle? Cackle.
How many more questions do I have for you?
I think just one.
Okay. Albert DeSalvo is better known by what serial killer nickname?
Albert DeSalvo?
Yes.
It's not Dennis Rader, the BTK killer.
Very good.
It's not...
That's it.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. I was trying to figure out is he a serial killer?
Thinking you're going to put out a long string of names and their nicknames, that you give one, and then you go, oh, well, that's it. I've stalled out.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's Ramirez, the original Golden State Killer, or the new Golden State Killer.
Mm.
I don't think it's Ted Bundy. That's his name, Ted Bundy. Albert DeSalvo could be the son of Sam. I feel like he had a different name though. Son of Sam. I mean, that's the one that's in my head that I can't think of his name what his real name might be. So I'm going to go with that. The son of Sam Killer.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Albert DeSalvo. Who is he?
Albert DeSalvo is known as the Boston Strangler.
Oh, okay.
The Boston Strangler. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam. David Berkowitz.
That's right. How could I...
It was very weird that you were just naming not nicknames of serial killers, but the names of serial killers. I don't know where exactly you were going with that. I'm like, what nickname is Albert DeSalvo? And you're just like, Ted Kaczynski, Ed Gein. Like, think of nicknames. Son of Sam, you got there.
I guess I started because Dennis Rader is a serial killer that we asked in an early episode of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of racking the trivia portion of my brain, I think.
Gotcha.
All right. Let's take a little break. And then we'll come right back with a Rate My Question. Back, and it's time for a Rate My Question.
Rate My Question.
Okay, this is from listener Lauren LL, not Rumpelstiltskin Lauren. Listener Lauren.
All right, listener Lauren,
here's her question.
Hey Lauren, it's never too late to get on that list. Become a Rumpelstiltskin. We'll have two Laurens. We'll have three Mikes.
Or if you want to come off a little better than the other Lauren, you know, proverbial lightkeeper, maybe.
Become a team captain.
Team captain.
Hey.
Quiz daddy.
Quiz daddy.
They're all available for you there. Lauren's question. Different for each animal based on the eyesight. What is the name given to the distance within which a person can approach an animal before it moves away? So this is a bit of a question of veterinary, I would say.
There you go.
You know, how far can you get or how close can you get to an animal before it moves away? And this is different for each animal based on their eyesight. So you're looking to find the proximity, you know, that an animal has before they notice you.
That's interesting.
So if you see like a squirrel and you're like, I want to go. Get close to that squirrel for whatever reason.
Gonna fuck this squirrel.
Well, I'm not that close. Not that close. But, you know, maybe you're just, you ever play this game when you see like a animal out, like
going
a duck
out to go
or
squirrel
something?
Fucking.
No, not that game. I'm talking about like, you know, you see an animal
you
and you're like,
misses.
Oh, that animal's about like 12 feet from me. I wonder if I can get like 9 feet without it moving, you know, and you play this little dance. You do the little dance.
It's been a while since I've done the dance. There's a lot of rabbits in Cape Coral, the city I live in, and I've had as many as 5 to 7 rabbits in my front yard at once at times.
And you have to approach cautiously.
I just leave them alone because I don't. One of the worries I think about that whole thing is that they get normalized to people, but they should be scared because some people are terrible. So
yeah,
I want to personally keep some like of that worry in them, that person's come and got to run, as opposed to being, you know, warming up to the idea of people and then some asshole who is a person who's going to like try and kill it to eat it or whatever.
Well, kill it to eat it. I mean, what if they're hungry, Mark?
Well, fair enough. I mean, killing it, I guess,
with to torture it or something would be.
Yeah. Or like not killing it properly, you know. In any event, do you know what this is? Do you have any ideas?
No, that's why I was starting to suss there about proximity. Maybe that's in the term, like the proximal
Can
radius.
Can you read the question again? Because
the perceptive radius. Different for each animal based on the eyesight. What is the name given to the distance within which a person can approach an animal before it moves away? So like the degree of perception or the...
Yeah, that sounds... I mean,
in D&D, perception is the skill that you use to become aware of things.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with degree of perception.
Well, maybe distance of, I don't know about degree. Help build with me here.
What do they call, like peripheral? Seeing out of the corner? Yeah. Peripheral.
Peripheral perception.
Distance? Well, I mean like the peripheral, PPD? Like. I guess peripheral is like specifically the side. I was just trying to think of like a term for your immediate surroundings.
But I wonder if it's far enough away, if that's part of the peripheral distance too, because it's like hard to see far away, you know, like you're on that boundary.
Yeah. I mean, it's just periphery of the sides, but maybe it's peripheral vision.
Peripheral perception? Yeah, maybe it is peripheral vision. What do you think?
I don't know. I think that we're not going to get it right. I think peripherals probably not right, but it's a good guess. I mean, for not having anything else.
Yeah, the only thing is peripheral definitely seems like it's a directional thing, you know? Peripheral proximity? Proximal distance? No.
Proximal vision? Just... What are they looking for? The name of the...
It's the name given to the distance within which a person can approach. So we're looking for a type of distance. Yeah,
maybe we're barking up completely the wrong tree.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something that's like predatorial.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or like the
striking distance.
Maybe something like that. Maybe that's it. Maybe striking distance.
The only thing I would think is that striking distance definitely has to do with like arms and stuff, not just vision, you know?
Well, but that's what I'm saying is that it's the distance in which,
but most creatures can see further than they can strike. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, I mean, striking doesn't necessarily have to do with, like being able to be physically touched, maybe. 'Cause there are some animals that shoot venom and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that dinosaur that fucks up.
What's his name? Dilophosaurus. Nedry. Wayne Knight playing Dennis Nedry.
Wayne Knight.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Knight. Way Day.
First name Way.
Way Day. Last name Way Knight. Knight. Yeah, I still think that that's more of an attacking thing and less of a vision thing.
But it's looking for the name of the distance, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean.
Sighting distance, I would be more inclined to something like that, or like.
Striking sight distance.
Distance of awareness.
Don't strike me distance. Don't strike me, bro.
Don't strike me.
I'm tired of this sus. I don't know. We're not going to get it, I don't think.
Let's go with perceptual distance.
Okay. The distance of perception. Sounds like something philosophical. Did they do the link right?
Well, do we have to yell at Lauren? I have a scientific essay here from Colorado State University.
Lauren,
I
guess you did do a link, which is good. Wait, don't do me.
No. I'm just trying to make sure this is the right answer before I start reading it. There's just multiple terms in this article, so I'm trying to figure out which is the...
Lee is going to know more about... He's going to become a philosopher on the terms that are used for...
This is like an agricultural guide, like if you're raising cattle. Like, that's what I'm looking at right here. The correct answer is the flight zone. The flight zone is the distance within which a person can approach an animal before it moves away. Herd animals usually turn and face a potential threat when it is outside of their flight zone, but when it enters the flight zone, the animal turns and moves away.
Mm.
So it has to deal with them fleeing. All right. So let's rate this question.
I'm going to go ahead and give this a 's a tough one to rate. I'm going to give it a B.
Okay.
Maybe a B minus, maybe a B plus. I'll just say a B.
Okay. So you're feeling kind of lukewarm on this one.
It just seems, I guess far be it from me, because I don't know how used the term flight zone is, but it seems like kind of an arbitrary name that I don't know a lot of. It seems like one of those things that, as far as sussing is concerned, it's very hard to put those two words together to get the right answer. It is a very hard sus.
All the information is there that you need, but it's not like screaming out like this is a hint. Like before an animal moves away, that's kind of implying that it's fleeing, you know?
Well, that's the thing. You have to start deciding whether or not you're going to accept flea zone or flight radius. Or, you know, like, it's just, I,
well, it and says
I
don't what know is that, the name given? So that, to me, that implies that there is a term or an authority.
And that's the
authority.
Thing. I guess I don't know how normalized the term mm-hmm. flight zone is.
Yeah.
I don't know that a lot of people, you like,
could, sorry,
in the world of PIBS, I don't know how popular this is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can see this having no P or a lowercase p because I don't know how many people are going around talking about the flight zone.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a fine question. It's interesting. I learned something here today and I like that.
Yep.
But as far as everything else is concerned, it's okay.
Yeah. I am going to give this a PIBS, mostly lowercase on that. I think I'll give this all lowercase PIBS.
Mm-hmm. A very like
PIBS.
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 What did this get? PIBS.
It got PIBS. Somewhat milk popular toasty. Animals. This is an agricultural question as well. It's somewhat interesting as well. Not the most interesting in the world, but somewhat interesting. Interesting enough to write a question about. Built-in hint, given this a lowercase b because, again, there is a hint in here. But you might want to add something to make it a little bit sussable, like borrowing a term from aerospace or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some other way to get to flight zone. And short and sweet. Yeah. You know what? I'll give it a capital S. I'll give this a PIBS because I don't know that I would really edit this at all. It's pretty short, pretty sweet. Yeah. So I'll give this a PIBS.
Good old PIBS.
Yep. All right. And a PIBS. B plus B. We'll just call it a B for Mark. Since you were hovering around those three ratings.
Yeah, I think B is what I would give it.
All right. Thank you, Lauren. And if you'd like to write us with a rate my question, a missed correction, or even just a little no note, you can do so nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Glad I was there to cover you up. Yeah. That saying 69 made you burp.
Mm, got a little verp on that one.
Yeah.
Remember verps?
Oh boy, do I. Yeah. Still happens for
me. The more
me.
Chicken wings I eat.
Verbs was for kids, but nowadays.
Okay, I believe you're first this time.
All right. The term pie hole. The term pie hole, meaning for a mouth, was first written by Stephen King in what 1983 novel?
Well, I'll tell you, I did see some discourse about this question online. So
I thought that it was brought up.
I do know the answer. You do know the answer. Okay. And, but I will say that it made me think, what would I answer if he did ask me this question? And I did get this wrong in my head. Because what I would have said is probably Carrie.
Mm.
And I think I would have gotten there because there's a famous opening scene involving a, you know, a tampon. Or she needs a tampon. She's entering her menstruation. And I thought maybe there was some kind of like insult or slang offered to that, even though the pie hole is on your face, not near your genitals whatsoever. But yes, the answer is Christine, actually, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So I'll give those who got that right that, and I'll give myself a point.
Do you want me to give you another question?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually like this question a good deal. And I was like, I'll just have to use it next week. But now I'll use it now.
Yeah.
Peach Melba and chicken tetrazzini are both dishes that were invented for people in what profession?
Peach Melba and chicken tetrazzini.
Yes. You like this?
I do. I don't know the answer to this. Melba, I think, is a... I know there's Melba toast. I don't know what makes it Melba exactly. What Melba means. It's kind of like a small, crunchy, like processed type of toast, a bread product. That tastes like cardboard, kind of. Peaches would be nice. A little something to give some flavor. And chicken tetrazzini. What is tetrazzini? It sounds Italian, obviously. I'm wondering if this is like some kind of like pocket sandwich type food or something. Like you're on the go. You need like your train conductor or something. And or an engineer. The engineer drives the train, right? The conductor just brings people on.
I believe that's right.
Yeah. Maybe you're like a train engineer and you can't sit down to eat. You just got to like be pulling those levers and having a little hand pie. Tetrazzini.
A little bit of that tetrazzini.
Something for your pie hole.
Perfect.
They would need food invented for them. Gosh, I'm just doing this job so hard. I need something to eat, but there's literally no food I can eat while I'm doing this job. So I need peach and chicken.
Peach and chicken.
It's a weird combination that we have here. Like one seems almost like it's like a dessert. The other more substantial. Tetrazzini. It makes me think it's like mid-century, because if it was like a horse carriage driver or something, I don't think they were doing like Italian food, you know. They were, that was more in the 20th century, I think. And it's got to be a job that you could eat while you're doing it. It can't be so intensive, like a surgeon, where you're definitely not eating because your focus is, you know, dictated by the job. So it's got to be kind of a boring job. Somebody who's like analyzing something, sports commentator. I'm going to go with train engineer. I'm just going to go with my first guess.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. August Escoffier is a chef who created Peach Melba, an ice cream sundae with peaches and raspberries.
A sundae, okay.
Chicken tetrazzini was made, a casserole with a layer of spaghetti covered with creamed chicken and mushrooms and topped with a generous sprinkle of Parmesan cheese for Luisa Tetrazzini. Dame Nellie Melba for Peach Melba. And there's also a meal called Tortellini Pavarotti. Opera singers.
Huh.
Is the correct answer.
Huh.
Opera singers.
And okay, so those are just individual dishes that were...
Was a tortellini dish with roasted peppers and dill. So they were named after famous opera singers.
I see. So it's not that they were made because they needed this, like, to eat while they were working, like I was thinking.
They were just famous people that had specific things made for them, and they loved it so much they said, "Oh, from now on,
chicken tetrazzini.
It's a chicken tetrazzini."
Okay.
And Luisa Tetrazzini was like, "Yeah, that's right.
That's mine.
Thanks,
Mark." My final question for you. Skateboarding, the category.
Hang ten, dude.
Skateboarding history.
Okay.
You've seen some documentaries in your time, right?
It's been a while, but yeah.
What was the name of the 1970s skate crew that included skating innovators Tony Hawk, Ollie Gelfand, Rodney Mullen, and Mike McGill?
Don't fuck this up, Mark. I think they were called the Z Boys in Dogtown. The Boys of Dogtown? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. There was a documentary and there was also a movie made about them. Z Boys? I don't want to oversus it. Something Dogtown. Is it the Days of Dogtown? Something of Dogtown. I'm going to say the Z Boys.
No, I'm sorry. None of those people were in the Z Boys. That is a different
different thing altogether.
Skate crew. The answer I'm looking for is the Bones Brigade.
That does sound familiar. Yeah.
Z-Boys, Dogtown, Lords of Dogtown. Those were popular guesses, as well as Birdhouse, Fireball, Skull Bones, very close. Skull Bones. You could see that they were.
Well, Birdhouse is owned by
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk, yes. Yeah.
And best worst answer, Pool Boys. The Beautiful. Pool Boys. No, well, no Island Boys,
though. Open because of the emptied pools. Right. I can see it.
There is some logic there.
If you are into skating at all, I'm sure you've heard of it, but even if you're not and you're into Jackass style stuff, there was a show on Vice called Kings of the Road that is absolutely amazing. It's so good. I think there were three or four seasons that was put on by Thrasher Magazine. The owner of Thrasher Magazine passed away two or three years ago, unfortunately. But I don't think they've done anything with it since. COVID obviously being a big issue as well. But it was so much fun. And even watching those past episodes, it's worth giving it a shot. Again, there's some disturbing stuff in it. It's skateboarders being skateboardy, but a lot of fun.
Right on. Okay.
Lee.
Mark.
15 more episodes until we hit 200.
Yeah, how that wild. Will be our 200th.
Yes.
So be sure to stick around for that. We appreciate everybody who has stuck around thus far. Thank you for listening to this episode and every episode. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. We want to thank everybody who's done that. We now have 121 reviews on Apple.
Yes.
And 55 on Spotify.
Damn.
Not including our Good Pods ratings, our Podchaser ratings. Anywhere that you can leave us a review is big help and much appreciated. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to your Patreon page.
Thank you so much to our Patreon supporters, including our new Rumpelsnailedskin, Christopher M.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Who has been
keeping us on our toes as far as miscorrections are concerned.
Thank you.
Big thanks to our quiz daddies, Brandon Long, Issa, Adam Volkadesmi, and Red Crest Fried Chicken, Tim at Pat's Garden Service, and Tommy. Our team captains, Matt, Mo, Rick G, Skyler, Kristen, Fletcher, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG Aaron, David Holbrook, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Grant, Rob, Captain Nick Williams, Kate, Rachel, Moo, Tim Gomez, aka Mappy 1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, Ricky F, Justin P,
Justin Peach,
and Justin M.
Justin Melba.
Perfect. Thanks to our Rumble Snailskins, Brandon, Ed, Dylan, Sarah, Fox and Five, Laurel, Aaron, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, the people down at We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Mike C,
Mike Chicken Tetrazzini,
Mike J,
Mike James Buchanan's White House Bachelor Pad,
and Mike K.
Mike keeps a poster of Raquel in his cell. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or missed correction, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com is the email address, or you can call us at 1-929-356-6966. Please call us. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
And I implore you to please call us. Use the phone number, huh? Mm-hmm. It's been a while since we had a voicemail. We love having them. Correct us. Ask us a question. Tell us something you like about the show. I don't give a fuck. Pick up that phone right now. It's almost the end of the episode. You may as well just go ahead and hang up. Or hang up. Stop playing this.
Hang up this episode. Us.
Hang up the episode. We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.